Okay.
Welcome to the Permaculture Pimp Cast with your host, the Permaculture Pimp Daddy and the Pasture Raised Pimp. Get your recommended daily allowance of permaculture, preparedness, and practical living. Dip a pimp. Stay alert, stay alive. Permaculture is my passion. Oh yeah, welcome to the bonus episode of the Permaculture Pimp Cast, the only pimp cast on planet Earth where we discuss permaculture, preparedness, and practical living. And remember, PIMP stands for Permaculture is My Passion. All right, y'all, you're going to be glad you tuned in today for a whole bunch of reasons. But before we get into it, this episode is always brought to you by Hickory Ridge Soap from twooldcrowshomestead.com. Turn that simp into a pimp. Bam! Also, Heaven's Harvest, y'all, 10% off with promo code PERMA, P-E-R-M-A. Remember, take all of your preparedness needs, go on over there for all the things you can't secure yourself. Go check them out. Remember, if you got an EMP, you got to have an EMP shield. But the most pressing thing that's ever going to happen to you is going to be a lightning strike. And they guarantee their product for 25 Gs. You don't even need to call your insurance should things jump off. And remember, Heaven's Harvest, you're going to be glad you check them out as well. If you're not able to freeze dry your own stuff, they'll hook you up. And remember, use our link because it helps us out. But before we get into the hot topic today, y'all, I want to remember, get over there, give us a 5-star review on any platform you're listening to. Remember, go get that done. I know a lot of you people are listening to us going to work, but you need to get it done. All right, so without further ado, y'all, I want to jump right into it. Now, let me give you a little background here. Years back, I was unable to find anywhere to get a permaculture design certificate. In fact, I looked all over Kansas. Nobody was doing it. And then when we moved to small town Texas, there certainly wasn't anybody in the realm of DCAB that was getting it on. So everything I was studying, I was basically learning by myself. And then YouTube, you could get some stuff here and there, but it was always conflicting information. So there I was making a whole lot of mistakes, getting things done, some things going well, some things not so well, until finally I found my man right there in Plano, Texas. His name is Nicholas Bertner, and he was my first ever permaculture teacher. What's up, Nicholas?
Man, a lot's up, Billy, but thank you for having me on here. And yes, I was so glad to have you. I didn't know how much of a joy it was going to be to have you as a student. The original permaculture pimp, you know. And by the way, here in the intro music, it reminds me of Fly Guy. I don't know if you can pull that reference.
No, you're close. It was actually the Gap Band, but it's basically the same 80s kind of funk feel. And that's exactly what we chose for this. I mean, I thought, okay, we can sit here and do the country music like everybody else that does this sort of thing, or we can go ahead and go 180 degrees out of phase, which I'm used to doing, and not doing anything like we normally do, like everybody else does. But yeah,
that's why I'm glad that to do this with you. And I want to tell you, man, if I could be so bold, I think you'll like to hear this, but I'm proud of you, man. You really took off with this, and you're doing amazing stuff with your family. You know, as a man of Christ and who loves family and would love to do kind of what you're doing, man. I think that's just honorable. You're doing it as a team, and good job, sir.
Hey, well, thanks so much, man. And there's a lot of other families right now. Before we started this broadcast, everybody, we were talking about the record numbers of people that are getting into this space. In fact, I spent this last weekend with a bunch of people, mostly young people. I've never seen so many young people looking to get into this space, but they're feeling like, oh, good night. I've raised in the city. What do I do? Where do I start? How do I get into it? Nicholas, before we get into that, why don't you tell everybody a little bit about your background? And folks, you want to stick around for this interview because he is going to have the offer of a lifetime for all of you people out there that are looking for the best, most affordable online way to get your permaculture certificate. Because honestly, folks, I can tell you to read all the books in the world, but if at the end of the day you don't have a PDC, I think you're setting yourself up for failure. But before we get into that, Nicholas, why don't you give them everybody a little bit of background on yourself?
Yeah, well, I didn't know anything about homesteading or permaculture. Knew a little bit about gardening as my mom, she was a gardener. I think she was telling me the other day that in the 70s, there was a college elective that was a sustainable class, and she learned something about solar panels. So maybe there was something deep in the genes there that I wasn't aware of, right? So, but I knew nothing about it, and I kind of come from a suburbanite background, and I was doing computer work for a long time, and I was just burnt out. And it was a culmination of things that kind of got me into permaculture. I had an undiagnosed TIA in 2005, like a mini stroke. The whole left side of my body went numb. And it was then going through, trying to find somebody to help me with treatment. It was my chiropractor who said, you ever heard of Whole Foods? And not the store, but the actual, Whole Foods. And I was like, no, what is it? And so that was a big life-changing moment for me, motivated both by the desire for health and fear of being, of it happening again. And praise the Lord, it hasn't, and it won't. And also, just burned out on being on the computer, being unhealthy. And then also the desire, I did finally realize, I didn't have any skills. Like if things went south, like what am I going to do? So I come across this idea of there's bound to be something, like you have that EMP shield that you're promoting. Like there's bound to be something to eat in the wild strips of the suburbs and whatnot. Well, unbeknownst to me at the time, there's not only a little bit, there's a lot. And I met a guy at a dog park and he told me how to make flour from acorns, and my mind was blown, Billy. And at the end of that, lengthy conversation, he said, but you don't really want to know that. And I'm like, what are you talking about, man? He goes, what you really want to know is permaculture. And I don't know if this happened to you, but when you first heard the word permaculture, when I heard it, it was, no, thank you. put that mental book on the bookshelf. But I was traveling in Central America, and I looked it up randomly, and there was hardly anything there, right? There was nothing online. There's definitely not any substantial YouTube videos like there is now, but I was able to see a Bill Mollison kind of video, the Global Gardener series, and In Grave Danger of Falling Food. That one is great. And, it was like God put his finger on the heart, and it was amazing. I my life changed almost overnight. I think the next week I flew back to the States, got a PDC, traveled around the world a number of times, both learning permaculture and also doing and teaching permaculture in multiple countries. Let's see, last place I was at was actually a learning adventure. I was in Costa Rica at Rancho Mastatal. Wonderful place. They have natural building courses there. If you want to learn wattle and daub, it's great. A few months before that, I was in Iraq working with a refugee camp there, teaching permaculture in the dry lands of Iraq with the Kurds, the Kurdish people. And I think up next, there is a orphanage in Mexico, either, I think it's an hour, maybe 3 hours south of Mexico City. And they need all types of help, from septic systems to what to do. They're vegan. Like what to do with these 25-gallon buckets of food waste that they have a day. And they're not going to slaughter any animals, right? So there's this there's going to be some pollution somewhere, and we've got to figure out how to do it. So, there's a little bit of history and kind of what I do, really the goal is to love people, and I use the tools of permaculture often to do it.
Hang on, bro. Let me back you up a little bit, man. I ain't never heard of no Mexican vegans. Are these white people living down there? Because I have never come across a Mexican tribe of vegans, bro. I know these ain't Indians down there. So who are these vegans in Mexico?
You know, that's a good question. I'll have to share the link with you. I'm sure they wouldn't mind at all. If you guys wanted to support them down there, they can use it. But yes, the it's the dos. It's gringos y Latinos. It's trabajo con the orphanage, right? There's both white people and brown people, right, working there in Mexico doing it. So man, the world's changed, bro. The world has changed, right? It doesn't matter what flavor or color you are. The ideologies go into all types of listening, right? And social media and the desire to be healthy and maybe, you know, there are things that people really attach to, and diet is one of them. Diet's definitely one of them.
All right. Well, okay. So we got Mexican vegans. I guess next up, I'm going to find out John Wayne was gay or something, bro. I never even saw this one coming. So, Nicholas.
Well, I hope not. He's definitely inspired a lot of people not to be gay.
Yeah. All right, man. Let's kind of lean on into, okay. So you definitely, you got your background, you traveled all over the world to get your chops and trained a lot of people along the way. So eventually you stopped and you started your own school. Why don't you talk to us about that and how that began, and you know, how many people have you trained over the years, and what did that look like?
You know, Billy, it wasn't actually a progression. I knew right away that I needed to start a school right away. I just didn't know anything about it. Right. I didn't have the background or anything. So I did go, like you said, go get, you know, grit my teeth, cut my teeth and get my chops from really, really great educators and mentors and instructors. And so after that, I knew right away when I would take notes, and this is just how I did it. I wouldn't just take notes of what I was learning. I was also taking notes of the facilities I was learning in and the organization of how what I was learning was being taught, right? So it would be the equivalent of, like, you know, well, I'll give you a good example. You know, you might be learning something about a swale, and, you know, I would grasp the concept, but if I was on site somewhere, I would just take off and just go run around and like try to get everything that was there and be like, okay, so if I'm going to do this on a site, I need this to make this work for students to come, right? So I knew right away I was going to start a school. It had a different form at the very beginning. It was renamed one time. But the goals are still the same, right? The goals are still the same. And at the end of the day, it's to help people, love people. And you can do that really well by helping the planet, you know, and or making the smallest footprint as possible, or even doing better.
Okay, folks out there, I want you to know this. Nicholas is extraordinarily rare in this space, and I'm going to talk about something that may seem a little controversial. I've known a lot of permaculture designers over the years, a lot of them, and where I, in the past, I've described myself as a Christian, American, heterosexual, pro-gun, liberty-minded permaculture designer. Well, I got news for you. And I know we've talked about it before, William and I have numerous times in this Pimpcast, where we're located right here in Asheville, it's nearly, okay, if there is another Christian permaculture designer, I don't know who that is. I really don't. Where we live in the mountains, there was actually an incident that had happened where I promoted somebody on the YouTube channel, had no idea that these people were actually bringing witches. They were going to bring witches to, they were actually taking the permaculture course every month. They were setting it up in a different place. They wanted to use my place. The answer was no. And then it was absolutely not when I found out that half the courses and half the places they were doing at witches' covens. Now, folks, a lot of people have been turned off with permaculture because they think it's just a secular trap, and it's, you know, there aren't any Christians in this space outside of the permaculture pimp daddy. And that is not exactly true. Nicholas is one of the rare people. In fact, one of the reasons why I chose his place was because I had this real concern. Okay, man, am I going to be in here with a bunch of dirt worshiping hippies, man, that I mean, I'm not even going to lie. This is exactly what I was thinking. Am I going to be here with a bunch of pagans that I don't have a whole lot in common with? And one of the things that you were very vocal about from the very beginning was you said you don't have to necessarily share my faith, but hey, I'm not even going to be shy about what it is I believe. So how does that position you in this? Now you're in Texas. I want to know how that, what light does that put you in the permaculture community?
Yeah, it is interesting, really. So let me back up to what you said. You were surrounded by a bunch of dirt worshiping hippies when you came through the permaculture design course, and that's okay. That's okay. You're right. You don't have to share my beliefs to take any course in any of my courses or be here with me. But know that I will probably, when you're not around, and maybe when you're around, probably be praying for you by the blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ, that, you know, good things happen for you and that you take what's being taught and it heals you and your family and people around you. But know it's safe, no matter what your walk of life is, to come. We're relaunching the in-person site here in Weston, Texas, which is just north of McKinney, which is not too far away from Dallas. I'm actually here right now. And so, you know, all walks of life will be welcome. And you might get a blessing at your meal. Actually, you probably definitely will get a blessing if you have a meal here. But that doesn't mean I haven't actually talked about any of the somewhat hardships that it's caused. I mean, and I guess now it's probably safe to do so. But I remember at the beginning, I might have been the only Christian permaculturist that was there. You know, I'm sure I wasn't, but that was at least vocal. Actually, I know I wasn't. There was a guy from Echo in Florida. He's since retired, but he reached out and was like, man, there's nobody doing permaculture that I can find that is, and Echo is a pretty big organization that helps a lot of people that loves Jesus and is teaching permaculture. And it really does kind of grasp kind of the earth worshiping, or like you said, the dirt worshiping people and the New Age movement, you know. And you know, prior to my conversion to following Jesus with devotion was kind of New Agey, you know. I thought, you know, multiple paths can get to God and there is one God, but I was just wrong, you know. I mean, Jesus says it himself, I am the truth. I mean, even if you're not a Christian, most people can't say they hate Jesus, right? Like, that's, how can you say that if you read anything about him? And so it's Jesus who says it himself, Billy. It's, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life, and no one comes to the Father but through me. So unfortunately, we have some zealous Christians out there, which has given us a bad name. It's not bad to be zealous, but to kind of Bible thump and like, you're wrong, in a non-apologetic or polemist arena, it really turns people off. And so just by mentioning the name of Jesus, it could raise the spiritual world in a negative way, but it's also, some people just don't like it. I've had people literally walk out of in-person classes because I'm like, something will happen. I'm like, praise the Lord, you know? I mean, literally just in passing like that, and people would walk out. And, you know, I think I was doing cancel culture. I was getting cancel cultured before it had the term cancel culture for a while. And, you know, and that's fine. I mean, Jesus also said, you know,
I witnessed it. In fact, when you were doing pattern recognition in your class, there was a girl who was absolutely positively fired up all about permaculture. And as you know, and we'll hopefully cover that here in a little bit, that in the beginning of the course, you know, it's really, some people, it's tough to keep their attention until you get into chapter 3. You were doing a thing on pattern recognition, and there was this chick in there that was totally into it. Talked to her on the breaks, the whole 9 yards. The second you brought up, I was there, y'all. I was in the room where she slammed her book shut, walked out of the room when you talked about the absurdity of life just spontaneous. I don't know how or where you had talked about the how the notion of what we're taught about the origins of life are almost absurd when you consider these patterns that exist. I may be putting words in your mouth, but I was literally there when you said, okay, anybody that would just, I was there when it actually happened. I looked over this girl. She didn't just leave silently. She smacked her book shut, walked out, and I guess lost all of her money. So, you know, bad luck for her.
Well, I don't remember 100% that incident of a number of incidences that have happened. I would say it's very small percentage still, but still doesn't feel good. You know, from an educator's point of view, who my goal is to love people. I'm definitely not, you know, trying to push anything in anybody's face where it's distasteful. I don't think Jesus would approve of that. But at the same time, you know, if somebody's worshiping in their way, we live in the United States of America. They can, you know, like by all means, especially if I'm going to their class. Now, that doesn't mean that afterwards we can't have conversations and, you know, have, you know, provide arguments like, you know, like Paul writes in Acts to for our faith and whatnot. And we can converse, but everybody has the right to do it. But you know, I'm not 100% sure I remember that particular incident, but I don't know, man. I even think Bill Mollison, who I'm pretty sure is an atheist, but he's an equal opportunity hater of all faiths. He'll shoot any sacred cow. I mean, I think he even has been quoted by saying, you know, there's the designer of all of this. So even though you might not label it God, it's still like there's a designer, because it's too structured and orderly. Which you're right. That was years ago, man. So I'm not even sure exactly what I said, but I'm sure it was something along the lines of, you know, to think that we came out of nothing is kind of absurd, right? Not to get too sidetracked, but that is the hardest argument, I think, for a materialist or an atheist to answer, is the fine-tuning argument. Like, just by fractions of nano milliseconds and, you know, degrees from the supposed Big Bang, or when God said, you know, it's kind of the same thing, right? Sound and a bang, you know, we wouldn't be here, right? It's like everything was fine-tuned. I think some mathematician was saying that the chances of us having life on this planet in the universe is smaller than a tornado going through a junkyard, and then when it finishes at the end, producing a intact, ready to fly Boeing 747 jet, right? So, you know, I mean, it just statistically, it's like you run the numbers, right? And I'm going on what he had said, a mathematician. I haven't actually done the statistical analysis myself, but I'm just going to believe him, right? But go ahead.
No, I'm right there with you, man. I mean, we don't have to get in the weeds on that. I just know this audience, and I know a fair piece of them are going to be the homesteading type, and they're going to be, because I made no bones about the fact of my faith on here and where I stand. And these are the people that fundamentally are not going to dig the typical Asheville PDC that is being conducted by a bunch of, and typically these are the people that generally, in my view, in my experience, are not the most productive things in the world. They're into more social permaculture. I get that. But these aren't the actual, let's go out here and grow some stuff kind of people, at least not here, at least not in these parts. And a lot of people have been turned off completely. In fact, I know a couple of people that got a little bit into it and they're like, okay, man, I'm not really digging this, but I knew that this audience would absolutely positively be on board with what you have. And real quick, folks, Nicholas, correct me if I'm wrong, before we start covering your PDC, you did actually train under the great, late, great Bill Mollison and also Jeff Lawton, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Yes. Yes. Yes on both accounts. And happy that I did both of those. Both of those gentlemen are, I know them personally. We are all men, as you know, Christian men. Christians know that all men fall short, right? I only say that because we you know, actually, well, here, I'll get into it a little bit. So I think we were designed to worship. And if we're not worshiping God, then we start worshiping other things. And sometimes those other things are ideas, and sometimes those other things are men. And so there's a lot of people who haven't had the opportunity to meet their heroes, whether it be football players or musicians, or in my case, you know, like the gentleman you mentioned. And so, you know, when you do, you realize, you know, people fall short. And I think some people have recognized that people fall short. But listen, we are all human. We are all human. So if you want to crystallize the idea that your mentors or your people that you look up to are greater than, like, their hero status, then don't meet them, right? Don't meet them. And it goes with anybody. Because all humans are humans, and we all fall short of the glory of God. And so, with that said, I'm very happy, and I'm very pleased to have both Bill Mollison and Jeff Lawton in my lineage. And I'm grateful that I was able to learn and be mentored under them.
Yeah, that's pretty important. I don't know necessarily that, you know, anybody's background in learning anything in particular is as important than what they've done, but exactly. It is something to be said about, hey man, you were probably the last class that Bill Mollison, the inventor of permaculture, you know, you were, if I remember right, you were at least in his last or pretty close to the last class. And then, you know, he's since passed on, and hopefully I hope and pray that he did find Jesus before then. But, yeah. So, folks, Nicholas does have a background, world traveler, worked all over the world doing this stuff. And I led all that up to right now. Folks, before I get into this, every time I talk about a place where you can purchase an education, people are fundamentally asking, well, what do you get out of it? Well, most of the time I get nothing. And I prefer to have it that way because it means more to me that a lot of folks get the education than for me to aggrandize myself. That's really not the purpose here. And today's one of those things, because before we get into what Nicholas is going to be offering in his course and how you can acquire it, I'm really glad that we have this opportunity to point this out. Let me just go back and tell you, this is that time of year where festivals start kicking up, and it's like every other weekend I'm going to be at a festival. Mm-hmm. And fundamentally, if I'm one of the speakers there, people are going to ask, where do I start? How do I begin? Or typically the one that I get most is, name five books I need to go read. And I usually kick out what I think. But I'm going to tell you, I mean, every single time, and it's like this goes over everybody's heads, and I don't understand the reasons why, you're wanting a sword of Damocles to get this all figured out. But I'm telling you, you really, really, I don't care where you are in the continuum here, you really ought to start with a permaculture design certificate before you go down reading, let's say, Gaia's Garden, or I mean, read Fukuoka anytime you want. But honestly, the framework and how it all fits together all begins fundamentally at a PDC. Nicholas, would you say it any differently, or do you see it differently? That's my opinion.
Yeah. You know, the longer I do this and the more I teach people, I do hold that point of view, but I hold that point of view depending on the student. So I put it to you like this, you know, there is an argument to be made, or somebody can say, why take a PDC when I could read the designer's manual and other books? And you actually can. You can do that. But it's a very, very, very rare person who can do that and then apply it. And then it's extremely rare to feel confident about it, right? Like, who you're going to ask if you messed up, you know? It can be done. It can be done, right? So if you have that kind of student who is obviously brilliant, then go for it. And, you know, and actually, being in all sincerity, I would consider you that kind of student, Billy. So the fact that even you're that kind of student and you took a PDC, multiple PDCs, right, and your son, it says a lot about the PDC, right? It says a lot about the PDC. Yeah. And then there's, you know, more tactile students who, you know, they can't sit. It's most people would put themselves in this category, and I'm going to argue with that you shouldn't do this, but where it's like, look, I can sit down for an hour and then I need to be outside. I need to learn hands-on. And the problem with that is, it's great. Actually, you'll learn whatever you're learning very well. It's one of the best ways to learn. But the problem is there's so much to learn that it's impossible to do that. And then, you know, maybe by the time you're 70, you got enough skills acquired to go, oh, well, out of these 160, 180 things that I just learned to do in the last 4 or 5 decades, I really only need 6 of them. So maybe sitting down and learning some theory and going over the options and decision-making matrices prior, which is what I would highly recommend, it's gonna benefit both of those latter types of students who can do all theory and sit down, or more tactile. The book reading students are just rare and unique. And if that's you, I mean, do reach out. I would like to, like you know what I mean? You were my student, Billy, but there's another friend of mine, Jeremy, and he's also quite brilliant. And so like guys like you, I'm like, look, you might be my students, but really, man, I might be studying you guys, right? And figuring out what you're doing. And because you're having success and you're growing and you have unique thoughts and it's creative and exciting. So I appreciate that.
Oh my goodness. You don't know what this is going to do to my head, man. I'm going to start telling my students, hey, when you can snatch the compost from my hand, you may leave the pre-DC. Yeah, we'll do it like Kung Fu back in the day. No, bro, I'm right there with you. You know what? You saved me from probably the third worst mistake I've ever made in my life. Ooh. And folks, no, you did. And I'm going to tell you how you did it. And folks, it's going to go right back to why I think you need a PDC. Okay, so I was the way Nicholas's class was set up was, at least at that time, there are some classes where you just do it all at once. You know, you knock out all the hours at once, which I don't think is the best way to go on about it, because I'm not sure how much you retain that way. But the way he did it was, like a National Guard soldier. You'll go in 1 weekend a month, and you can digest everything you learned until the next month, which was absolutely positively perfect for my learning style. Now, here's where I was going to screw up, folks, and this is where I know a lot of you folks are going to screw up as well if you don't really consider what I'm about to say. So here I was, I think I was in my second month training with Nicholas, and here I am stuck on a property with family. Like I said, this was going to be the third worst mistake of my life. Okay, number one and number two was both times working with my family on any project. So this would have been the third worst. And I'm talking about extended family. So what had happened was, I remember I had been working for some time on the chicken tractor on steroids. And at that time, I had 3 of them going at the same time. I was about to kick in the orchard thing into this project I was working on. And I remember you implored me. You're like, It was at the end of the second month, and you were like, dude, just take my word for it. Don't do anything. Wait till you finish this course. And I'm like, I'm driving home and I'm as mad as a hornet, because I'm like, dude, I am not about to wait 6 months before I do this. And then honestly, I got home and then things got real, real. I was still working my day job at that time. And all of a sudden I got so busy that there was no way I could even do it. I was working, you know, pretty much 6 days a week. So I was going to blow you off and do it anyway. And then here it was, months later, when I was able to resume it, had I done what I was going to initially do, it would have been a disaster for me. It would have been a disaster for the ages, because I knew enough to make myself dangerous. That was the problem. And I didn't do all the observation that I should have done. And had I done this, I would have made this a first-class disaster. I never thanked you for that, but honestly, you set me on a path that made all the difference in the world. So, yeah, clearly for you to tell me that, you've been down that road with other people before. Why should they wait before they just go kicking off something as monumental as what I was going to do?
Well, thank you for telling me that. But I've changed my answer. I've changed my recommendation. That's still not bad advice. It's good advice, but I've realized that it was work that stopped you, right? So I would say anybody with motivation is going to blow off that advice, just like you were about to do, but you couldn't completely. You blew it off, actually, but you just couldn't follow through with that because you were busy. So, you know, the problem is a solution, right? That's how I got to look at it. You know, you see a pattern. It's like, okay, well, let's work with the pattern rather than trying to forcefully stop it. There are times when you need to do that too. And so now it's more like, okay, well, you need a cap. You need a threshold. What are you willing to lose? You need to ask yourself that. So let's say it's $50. Let's say it's 5,000. Let's say it's 25,000. So while you're learning, right, if you got an itch and you need to scratch it, you need to ask yourself, what are you willing to lose in energy, time, and money? And if that answer is $1,000, if it's $100, then go do whatever you want to do because you're going to be redoing it. You're going to be redoing that, right? It. Yeah. And so I've almost categorized all of us into new categories. It's the waiters, the doers, and really the doers are the redoers, right?
Yeah, you got that right, bro. Let's segue into your course, because I know a lot of people are chomping at the bit right now. And folks, like I said, you want to know where to start. My recommendation is get a PDC. Now, there's no reason you can't go ahead and read One Straw Revolution at the same time. There's no reason you can't read these other books at the same time. People are going to ask, well, why should I even get one? And I think Nicholas said it perfectly, is it's one thing you can sit here and read this book. Doubtful you're going to retain all the relevant things that apply to your place. You can do that. I know one guy that claims he read it twice, and he was a family member, and honestly has more degrees than a thermometer, but didn't have any common sense with what he pulled out of that book. Mm-hmm. So, you know, just having somebody that's already been through it and can guide you through this makes, I think, all the difference in the world. And be honest with you, it really reads like a textbook. So if you can have somebody that can guide you through it, just like you do with a teacher or an instructor, professor, whatever the case may be, it's always a massive help if you have a person who's been through it and can guide you through this stuff. Now, Nicholas has a course, and I'll be honest with you, folks. Every time somebody asks me, where do I go? There's only two places I tell them. Number one is if you have a whole lot of money, and I mean a whole lot of money, go to Jeff Lawton. If you can do it, if you can find a place that's local to you, that you can go there in person, there's something to be said about doing these things in person, because you develop a camaraderie with the other people you're training with and you're learning with. You find out what they're doing. You might even find relationships where you can have limited partnerships. You may find a whole lot of things. But a lot of us these days just don't. And there's a lot of people that are living in places where you're not going to be able to easily find a place to get this done. Well, I'm going to suggest probably the best way out there, and that's through Nicholas's course, where you can do it online, and he's going to be your instructor. Nicholas, you want to walk them through or tell them what this looks like as far as your course and maybe what you're charging for it, because honestly, when you told me, it blew my mind.
Yeah, so let me start like this. I didn't start the school of permaculture or even start doing permaculture because I was money motivated. That was just not, I had come from, you know, business, and, you know, I didn't get sick of money. I mean, it's a tool. It makes life easier, but sure causes a lot of stress and anxiety when that's the only thing you're doing, right? You know, so you're kind of paying the middleman, but know that when you do take, in whatever form you take it with the School of Permaculture, yes, it pays anybody who's teaching and, you know, overhead, but really I'm into nonprofit work. I'm into helping the hurting, right? Like I feel my heart tugs when there's hurt people, even like hurt men, right? There's a guy I just met yesterday, I kind of sidetracked for a second. He lost his son and his best friend in the same year, right? Like, oh, my heart tugs when I hear that story. Same with this orphanages or refugee camps, or, you know, any situation, you know, moms with special needs kids, or, or who were battered or beaten up or something like that, right? Like those things tug at my heart, and that's what I really want to do. It. So when you purchase anything, or you can donate too, but when you enroll with the School of Permaculture, like funds are going towards those things to help. Like, you know, a lot of times I don't charge these people who ask me to come out. I probably shouldn't have said that, but you know, I might do a fundraiser and, you know, and whatnot, because, you know, yeah, that's what Jesus would do. So, with that said, you know, there's kind of a new start, a new relaunch here at the in-person site in Weston, Texas, small farm here. You know, we're building, I'm about to build a straw bale building, and, you know, we're looking at some small other buildings in a school area, like a larger building where students can come. And we've got to convert the orchard that's already here into chicken food forest system. And so, what I decided to come up with, and maybe I'm going to keep it, since you said that, keep it for a longer period of time, since you said you're going to be going to some events. And so people are going to be asking you what to do. I have this limited time offer, of a lifetime membership for one cost. And that includes getting a certification. So if you don't want to do that, I didn't create this online course to like, I know there are people who money is no problem. We work together, and there are people who, you know, they're scraping up every single dollar. So all the way down to even $25 a month, well, you can take the course. It doesn't come with certification, right? You can go to the schoolofpermaculture.com and look for the online course. And at the bottom of the page, there's multiple options, right? A certification, there's a humanitarian option where you pay more monthly because you're trying to help the other work that's being done, that because you believe in it, you want to help other people who need help, that, you know, and you believe this information can help them. So that there's a range of prices that you can do. Now, one thing I've never offered, you're going to be the first person that hears this, and also your audience. Figured the Pimp Cast would be the place to do it, right?
Bam.
Bam. And it's very affordable, and it's of high, you know, students have said it's very high quality, the information, and humbly I say it's probably the, as far as the data, it's probably the best course I've ever taught, right? As far as like what you learn, I mean, it's highly researched, and the information is really good. And the one benefit, like they all have pros and cons if you're doing it in person or online, of an online course is, you know, as long as you're a monthly member, you can always go back and reference, what did he say about the chicken tractor? What did he say about how to space your trees in a food forest? So there's a lot of information, and I give you lots of details, lots of high quality details. So I'm going to do it here. Here it is. I'm going to offer it. It's a one-time deal. It's a very limited time deal, because, you know, I am trying to raise some funds at the moment. And because things need to be done and need to be built, and let's see if it'll do it. So I know a lot of these one-time lifetime membership offers, one, I don't think they ever include a certification. Maybe they do. I don't really know. But they're going to be like $1,500. So I didn't want to do that. It's like $499. $499. The only way to do it is if you go to the permaculture design course page on the website. It's right there at the top when you're at the buy page, and it's the red button. And it says, you know, $499 lifetime membership. There's only one way to do it, right? And that's the way to do it. So if you have any questions, do email me on how to get there. Maybe we'll share a link here. But lifetime membership, it does include an upgrade to the certification, which is $800. You won't have to pay $25 a month or $100 a month. You get access to the other courses, the Q&A that's there. Get access to what's included is a 30-minute online Zoom consultation with me that you can sign up for. I can, you know, look over your stuff, and it's only one time, $499.
Hmm. Yeah, where was that $4.99 when I went through that course, bro? No, you're thinking, man, of all the things he could have possibly said to me, this is what he's going to say. No, you know, I've said it before. I'll be honest with you. I spent people have heard me say this over and over and over again. Nicholas, I have a trade education, a college education, a farm education, and a military education. Of all the money I put into those four different modalities of education, the best money I ever spent in my life was my PDC. And I've told everybody that. Amen. I've said it over and over and over again. In fact, had I paid $20,000 for that PDC, now granted, that would have been pretty doggone pricey, but had I paid for it,
it
was still a fraction of what it cost for me to get a college degree. And like even my trade education to go through and do that. I mean, we're talking 5 years apprenticeship to become an IBEW journeyman. Well, I paid for that. And I have never in my life gotten more value in my life for any education than we spend a lot of money on education. And I tell everybody it's the best money I've ever spent in my life. I didn't make tons of other mistakes. If for no other reason, I saved myself thousands in terms of how to design a property that was efficient. This saved me time doing work and all these other things. So I didn't have to make all those mistakes. And that PDC gave me the ability to know what questions to ask. Essentially, it was a toolbox.
As an educator, Billy, like hearing that, and you know, I've heard you say that some years ago, and that is just remarkable. And I know, like, you're not trying to sell my course. This is something that you said because you've believed it, you know, before I even had an online course, right? Or anybody's stuff. And I agree. I agree to that. This is useful knowledge that will perpetuate abundance for the future of our species. And the only way to do that is to get into the natural harmonies that God created through natural occurrences and creation and nature. I hearing you say that is just so honoring and admirable, and it kind of wows me every time you say it. And you're exactly right. I mean, I've knowing I wanted to be an educator, I've spent in the five digits for sure on my own education, traveling around, and I don't regret it at all. I don't regret it. This will eventually, because we're starting over, right? How my family gets fed, you know, ideally we'll have dairy cows and chickens and all the things you need, you know, so we can produce the vast majority of our own needs. But, you know, and if we need to go to the store too, that's okay. It's no big deal. We don't have to be super purists. But like you said, you know, in some of the highlighted bullet points in your intro, especially if things are rough outside and having a resilient homestead and something that is perpetuating is going to be a right deal. Let me also tell you this. I think it was a few years after you came through, Billy. I had another student, he was a Marine, and then he did some CIA contract work after. And, you know, he was so grateful to be in the retirement age. And him and his wife bought some land, and she came in first, right? And because he wasn't egotistical, but he knew it all already, right? And so she finally talked him into coming, you know, maybe a month or two later. And he sat there, he asked questions, he was happy. And he came up to me after the water sessions, the water weekend when I was doing it like that. And he goes, wow. He goes, I did these calculations already and they line up. But I didn't know all the things that I would get from here. And you have easily saved us. And it's going to sound remarkable because it is, but these are his words, right? You've easily saved us over $100,000 in infrastructure.
I believe it.
Because of the content, right? And you know, they're completely off grid, right? So they're solar batteries, water systems, like everything. So he wasn't messing around. They were really going for, like, they kind of wanted to be an island, even though I don't promote that, but you can, you know. And so Yeah, there's another testimony of the information.
I don't think there's any shortage of it out there, because really, I remember, you know, Nicholas, down not just dollars and cents, but really the transformation that happened in my mind, where I quit looking at, well, it didn't happen overnight. And in fact, I still struggle with it, where we live in this reductionistic worldview as Westerners, where, okay, you got high blood pressure, let's give you a pill for it. Okay, you have this problem, let's take this mechanical solution for it. And coming from that world as a tradesman, as a soldier, as a, you know, everything in my life up until there, the PDC was a real slap in the face to me in the best kind of way possible, because I remember I wanted to strangle you one time when I asked you over and over and over these different questions, and your response to me, because I thought you were dodging the question, and until later on, I knew exactly what you were talking about, and it was, it depends. Well, I walked out of that course, and in fact, this happened like on my third month. I think it was after pattern recognition. I walked out of there, and I can honestly say, folks, I get nothing for selling Nicholas's course. I don't get anything for it. I'm doing it honestly because so many people ask, where do I start?
I tried to give him some money for it. He wouldn't take it.
No. I mean, really, I won't do it because seriously, it means more to me that people get trained. And this is where I started, folks. You cannot look at the world the same when you get a PDC. You're going to walk out there. If you walk into your woods right now, you're going to say, okay, look at the trees. But when you're done training with Nicholas, you're going to be like, huh, look at all these layers out here. I never saw this before. That's exactly what I did. You're going to drive down the interstate and you're going to be designing in your brain. I am dead serious. I mean, if you're anything like me, that's exactly what I did. It changed the entire paradigm, this reductionistic paradigm that I was raised in, that every Westerner was raised in. And it made me now look at things in a holistic way that I didn't even know was possible. It was so paradigm changing for me, y'all. It's why I do what I do right now. When I say permaculture is my passion, it literally, I mean, the only thing that was more consequential to the development of my life, honestly, is accepting Jesus as my Lord and Savior. And outside of that,
which far outweighed learning permaculture, let's be
absolutely
honest.
Absolutely. Yeah, let's be clear about that. Yeah. Let's be absolutely clear about that. But the biggest paradigm changing thing, besides knowing Jesus is exactly who he said he was starting with that permaculture design certificate, because now I knew what questions to ask, or I knew, oh, okay, shoot, my terrain is too steep for a swale. What do I do now? Do I even need a swale? You know, do I even need these other things? Should I have a pond over here? Does it make sense? And then when you do a little more design work, you realize, well, I mean, that's design work is for those that are so inclined. I'm not one of them. For a whole variety of reasons. Maybe we can have Nicholas back and talk about what that experience is like, because I got mine and I'm sure he's got his share of it too. But Nicholas, how many other students have you had over the years that said, man, this is, besides the CIA guy, how many other people? Yeah. Let me ask this two ways. How many people have actually done something with their PDC, and how many people have sat on it? And, you know, how many people have said it was a life-changing thing? Just go anywhere you want with that.
Yeah, well, you know, as I was about to give you percentages, and then my brain was like, you know, that's not the way to answer this question. The way to answer this question is, what are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with this information? You could learn this fascinating information, and I will tell you right now, at minimum, it will make you fascinating in conversation, right? If you could start pulling out what the Lucas numbers are when you see a pine cone on the dinner table, with some of your in-laws, you're going to be a fascinating person.
Or Fibonacci.
Right, exactly. So you're doing that's great. But and you know what, in a way, I've had a change of heart on that too. Kind of the same thing with the rain barrel. The rain barrel is great, but it's actually not useful. It doesn't hold enough water. But what you get from the rain barrel is you get the conversation piece. And it's a subversive cultural marketing tool, right? It's the same with the information. Even if you're not doing something with it, you can't take that course and then not have a different point of view, right? Like your brain changes. You can't blow the balloon up and expect the balloon to go back to its original state. And that's what happens. Your thought processes expand. And so that's at minimum what will happen. But the question really should be, what are you going to do with this information? And I think I lay it out in the course that you need to really start with goals, Billy. What is it that you want to do? And I'll give you my goals. And they go in this order. Number one is to produce resources, food, water, energy, and housing for my family. That is my number one goal. Number one. So that's my plumb line. If it's not doing something like that, it's almost like, why am I doing it, right? Number two, and really, if you have more than five goals, it's probably too many life goals or vision casting. And so two is to have a demonstration site for the school. And number three is, and it's tertiary, is to have multiple income streams through both of those means. You know, as you were talking a minute ago, it did make me realize, like, permaculture is really passive income, but in another way, right? So what's passive income? Like a rental property. Like you're it's not active. You're not, like, right now, in a way, you and I, like, I'm actively working right now for the School of Permaculture, right? And you're actively working right now for Permapastors Farm, and we're putting together content that people will see. Now, we enjoy doing it, but it's active. Once it's out there, then it becomes a passive form of social capital, right? So that's passive because we're not working at it later. So permaculture is very similar. It's same with a rental property, right? You build the rental property and then it makes money for you later. So in your homesteads, you take the time, right? You know, Bill said famously, it's like 100 hours of critical thinking to 1 hour of work. Now it's hyperbole, right? It's metaphor. You don't have to do 100 hours, right? It's just getting you to think these things through and to somewhat of an extent. So you put the work in at the beginning, and then it pays and yields dividends and passive transactions without your input later, right? And you know what else does that? A tree, Billy. A tree does that on its own, right? You plant a pecan tree, you give it some love for a few years, and it showers you with pecans for the rest of your life almost, right? I mean, it's like God knows what he's doing, right? God knows what he's doing. Yeah. So let's tap into that and utilize his designs and his creation that benefits us. Now, he did say that we're going to work to the thorns and the thistles by the sweat of our brow for our food. So there will be work, right? There will be work, but he's so gracious to give us a blueprint that we call nature that we can utilize to create systems that produce resources. How do you think about that? Yeah.
Yeah, bro. I'm right on board. I don't know that I could have said it any better. I wake up every morning and I'm like, good night, man. Thank you, Lord, for letting me, of all the things that I did in my life, you know, I was in a career doing industrial electric work where I made really, really, really good money traveling across the country. But I didn't wake up in the morning and I didn't go to bed at night thinking, okay, yeah, look forward to running that conduit tomorrow. Nobody ever does that. But honestly, for a fraction of the money of doing that, I got into this because that's where my passion lied. And
yeah.
Like you said, if it all comes down to what you're going to do with it. Now, the reason I asked that question, and I like your response to that, because typically that's why I got out of the consultation business. I'm tired of spending all this time writing up a consultation for somebody who really isn't going to do it. Or you're not going to do what I instructed you, and then you're going to blame me for not doing it right. So I'm like, okay, William, you want to do that end of it? You knock yourself out. But your old man's out of the game, bro. And plus, I really think that, you know, through these other means, I think I can do more good in the world. But Nicholas, as we come to a close here, bro, we're going to link all your stuff down. Folks, if you go to School of Permaculture, go check it out. But where can everybody find you? Because you have a YouTube channel that you're about to get kicking again. And where else, where all can they find you right now?
Yep. Most of the social media platforms, I think I stopped at Instagram, though. So if I start working with somebody I got a mentee I think I'm about to bring on board. And by the way, if you want to be a mentee and to help with admin work, and we'll do a social exchange, a barter exchange, for mentoring you and certifying you in multiple ways, even a teacher certification, you know, if we could work together 1 or 2 years, that's great. Longer if you want, reach out to me. I think I do. I'm about to pull somebody in, looking at a couple of folks right now, and they're both really good candidates. So that happening, and after that happens, meaning that they could add TikTok or whatever. I just didn't go that far after Instagram, right? So it was a Facebook, Instagram, I think YouTube. There might be a Twitter presence, but just go to theschoolofpermaculture.com, get on my email list. And we're going to be making that more active. We're having a relaunch. Like I said, we're redoing everything. We popped up, grew, had a season of dormancy, and it was some years. And so now it's restarting with a whole level, new level of humility and the desire for connection. I want to connect with you. I want to know you in whatever possible way I can with multiple people or one-on-one. Meaning like, you know, 1,000 people come at me at one time, there's limited interaction I can have, but I want to connect with you. I want to know you. I want to know what you're up to. Let me pray for you. You're right. Can I pray for you, man? Send me your prayer requests. I have whole teams and ministries doing that for your land, right? You know, we can pull out some scripture there where, you know, God will heal your land, right? What does it say? Seek his face, turn from your ways, right? And I will heal your land. So if you can quote, you should put that scripture.
My people who are called by my name. Yeah.
Yep. Put that scripture in the show notes, man. So yeah. And sometimes healing that land is taking a permaculture design course. So you have the know-how and reaching out and asking for help, you know, see what we can do. And I think William will even come to you to help you in-person consultation.
Yeah, yeah, you can go reach out to William at Perma Pastors Farm, not Billy at Perma Pastors Farm. Go check out. I'm busy with building this place up right now, but yeah, it's a gift to your future self. There's so much out there, folks. This is why I'm encouraging everybody out there in the sound of my voice. If you're hearing this, please go check out School of Permaculture. You'll be glad you did. Until next time, y'all, stay alert. Stay alive. They don't want an individual just to carve a copy. You spitting that man a cottage. I'm talking saucy. All they want to build is a prison world full of pet Tamagotchis. Like a kamikaze. Got me out of body like I'm Goku SS3. They want to push me to the center like a cell. They want to split up at the center of the next is me. They want me to battle. But I'm a warrior. I'm a warrior. I will never bow down. I'm a warrior. They want me to bow down, but I'm a warrior.